Hello, I'm Brian McCallum, host of Speaking Out for the Blind. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode, or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or log on to the new Speaking Out for the Blind show website at home.comcast.net/McCallum3. That's McCallum, the number 3. Happy social networking. Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. Parenting may be one of the biggest and most rewarding challenges a person can encounter. There may be some additional or different challenges for a parent with a visual impairment. We want to address the question, what is the role of a parent? LifeShow.com says that the role of a parent is to provide optimal growth and development for their children. This includes the satisfactory emotional, psychological, social, and biological growth of children, so pretty much everything. The website goes on to say that taking care of a child's biological needs involves providing physical care, such as recreation time, enough sleep, and proper food. Providing an optimal environment for kids requires parents to offer a tolerant and positive atmosphere and conditions for positive changes and improvement. To talk about how the blind and visually impaired can fulfill this role as parents is Dr. Connie Conley-Jung. Dr. Conley-Jung is visually impaired, and she earned her Ph.D. in clinical psychology from the California School of Professional Psychology in Alameda, California. Dr. Conley-Jung is currently a clinical psychologist with the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco, California, and she has her own private practice. She has written several journal papers and participated in projects on blind parenting, including studies on parenting with disabilities for the Berkeley, California-based organization Through the Looking Glass. Welcome to the show, Dr. Conley-Jung.
Thank you for having me.
And so, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
I'm doing well here, too. But I want to get to know you first. Before I ask you about your work as a psychologist, I learned on the San Francisco Lighthouse's website that you've been visually impaired all of your life. It says that you have, quote, lifelong experience as a visually impaired person. What's your visual impairment, and how have you coped living with your low vision?
I was born, Brian, with a, I've seen records and have had it explained to me, basically as a congenital birth defect, like a genetic mutation, something that is not genetically passed on, but I'm the only one in my family with vision impairment, and what I would describe, my left eye, I have a prosthesis, so I don't have vision in my left eye. My right eye, I see about 2300 or something like that, acuity-wise. I'm considered legally blind in my right eye, so I do have a cataract that's kind of located in a position where they, surgeons wouldn't really want to mess with it. But if I'm injured, I've been told that they could help. It's just my eye is anatomically different. The lens is dislocated temporally. So there are all these things that I hear, but basically that's my vision in a nutshell.
Okay. So you pursued a career in psychology, and you're now a clinical psychologist. And I want to learn how you pursued that career. How did you first become interested in doing psychology?
I've always been interested in how people behave, why they do the things they do, what makes us truly human, and then why what matters to us matters so much. So I've always had a curiosity about that. And, that search for meaning. My dad has always told me, always have a goal in life. And So I did actually start out in the area of teaching. I have a teaching background. That teaching in special education with students with learning disabilities led me to become even more curious about the psychological needs of my students, and I felt like I didn't have sufficient training to address those emotional, psychological, social areas of their life. And as a teacher in a regular public school, you really can't go in that direction. You're focused on imparting information and focused on academic skills and things like that. So I think I've always had an interest. And as a psychologist, my emphasis has been on ways to combine my interest in education and psychology in a way that I could do it as a visually impaired person.
Before we get into the parenting subject, I just want to talk about your current work real quick. So you work at the Lighthouse, plus you're also a clinical psychologist at your private practice in Alameda, and you provide therapy for those with many, many mental health related issues, depression, post-traumatic stress, relationships, even employment, and especially parenting, which we're going to talk about in a second. So tell me more about your current work and how, just briefly, how you help your patients with these issues.
Sure. So I do have my private practice in Alameda, closer to where I live, and I see people of all ages, children, adolescents, adults. All of us experience times in our lives where we can benefit from some professional help, whether it's around symptoms of depression, developmental adjustments, family life, changes in employment, our social support system changing, navigating financial challenges, all these things. And here at the Lighthouse, that is my role. I'm a psychologist at the Lighthouse providing services to our clients. I start out typically with consultation and evaluation type sessions with individuals, and during that process we identify areas of concern or areas where the client would like some additional support or focus. Once those areas are identified, it goes into more of an intervention stage. I have a teaching background, and teachers are really, really good at collaborating with other professionals and having that interdisciplinary focus, it's such an advantage working here at Lighthouse to be able to consult with colleagues here and other providers, psychiatrists, other teachers of blind and visually impaired students. So that's part of my work, is part of my service. And then using a variety of therapeutic techniques, cognitive behavioral therapy, psychodynamic techniques. I have a lot of training with children, so both personally and professionally.
So now let's talk about parenting. More specifically, the blind and visually impaired people out there who want to be or are parents. I'm wondering if you did your research in the area of parenting, and if so, tell us what inspired you to choose this area of research.
My doctoral dissertation in particular was about parenting, early parenting, around experiences of blind and visually impaired mothers, and it was very specific to a population that is, disabled parents are understudied. A lot of the research is still very anecdotal, and the methods are sometimes unsophisticated. So my interest was specifically in that area, and I've always been interested in developmental and life cycle transitions and in adult life for those who choose parenting, that the transition into parenthood is a, earlier researchers referred to it as a kind of developmental crisis that's no longer used, it's not necessarily a crisis, but it is a major milestone in adult development for those who choose to be parents.
As I mentioned earlier, the website lifecho.com says that the role of the parent is to provide the optimal growth and development for their kids. This includes four things: emotional growth, social growth, psychological growth, and biological growth. Tell me how blind parents can provide this optimal growth for their kids.
You know, blind parents have been parenting for a very long time. They provide for their children all that any parent would provide and could provide. All of us have, you know, we might have strength in certain areas or passion in certain areas that we can convey and relate to our children around. But if there's an area that our child is not, you know, if a child is talented in a certain type of area that we might not be, we can rely, obviously, on our friends, family, social network, their teachers. So it's our job as parents to guide our children. And, you know, blind parents may have some, you know, a set of realistic and practical ways to do things. You know, you can get remarkably simple techniques to feed children or organize their clothing or, you know, travel outside the home or childproof your home. blind and visually impaired people are, you know, parents are very creative about these things. And also very flexible is what I found in interviewing parents for my dissertation and even talking to parents now. So I think, you know, it can be done. And there's a lot that families with, you know, with sighted parents, there's a lot that sighted, non-disabled parents can actually learn from disabled parents or visually impaired parents. You know, there's just a lot of information out there to share, and I'm all for that integrated approach to supporting parents and helping them, you know, parent easier and in a more fulfilling way. You know, all of us can do it. There are ways to do it. So
I was looking at a column on the website titled "Imperfect Parent." And I learned that there are a few questions that the blind or visually impaired people out there are asked by their relatives and friends. I'm curious as to how your patients would answer these questions and the advice that you may provide them based on these answers. And I'm talking about the prospective parents out there. Let me ask you about the first question. That first question is, will it be worth the hard work?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is a question that a lot of parents get, whether they're disabled, non-disabled, sighted, visually impaired. Not such a unique question, but there is that aspect to it that having a disability does require more time, effort, expense, just in, you know, across the board, not just in parenting, but in all aspects of life. So it does impact parenting. And it's an honest question. And I think, you know, when people ask this in our lives, parents or grandparents or, you know, extended family or friends, they're asking about the how would you do this? And those are questions where, you know, sometimes frankly, it's, our role to help other people feel comfortable around us, regardless of our disability status or place in life. But it's also, you know, people do want to know. They're curious, and you know, and sometimes we feel like educating them, and sometimes we just don't. So, you know, but generally, what I found in talking with with parents and even in my research, the reactions of people in our lives or in a person's social network or family network, family system, you know, they generally are positive. And if they are less than positive, it tends to go in that direction over time. It heads in a positive direction over time. And a lot of that is simply being exposed and informed over time that, you know, the parenting is happening. And a parent does make the adjustments. And if something isn't working, you know, a lot of trial and error goes into parenting. And it's true of blind and visually impaired parents as well. They do talk about, you know, the trial and error learning curve.
There's a second question here. Are you sure you can handle it? The word "it" refers to parenting.
Yeah. Are you sure? I feel like, is anyone really ever sure or ever really ready? I remember in my own transition to parenthood that I felt like my husband is sighted, but I felt that he was more comfortable around children and around the idea of parenting than I was. And it wasn't necessarily because I was visually impaired. It had more to do with his exposure to children, other children, and other family. He comes from a very large family. So he's been, over time, he was more exposed to children in his life than I was. I didn't do much babysitting, and a lot of these blind and visually impaired mothers do talk about this, that not everyone has experience as they're growing up with younger children around. Some do, some don't. So handling it, you know, it's more of a how will you do it? Again, I think that's really what between the lines or underneath the question, rather than are you sure you can handle it? How does any parent do it? That would be my comeback, I guess.
I see. Another question that I hear that stings the blind and visually impaired and disabled future parents the most. Is it fair to saddle a child with a handicapped parent?
You know, most of the parents who, you know, my blind and visually impaired friends, parents, and even my own experience, I don't even think my son would talk like that. It doesn't occur to children. And this is actually part of the research that we did at Through the Looking Glass when I was working there. We had a particular research opportunity with interviewing children of parents with disabilities, including blindness and vision impairment. Those children or young adults, I think the age range was 11 to 17. It was young, you know, like teenage. We were trying to get the adolescent population because they would be able to process questions like this at perhaps a deeper level than a younger child would. But even these children would say, you know, I haven't thought about it in those terms. My parent is my parent. And a lot of blind and visually impaired parents will say it's very hard to compare their parenting to the parenting of a sighted person or even a fellow blind or visually impaired parent because they're doing what they're doing. They're finding ways to be a parent and be confident in their parenting and have faith in, you know, in their ability to parent if they are in that transitional stage. So I'm not sure that is really coming up, but it is a question that's just a hard question to field. And honestly, I mean, I hear those kinds of things and my stomach goes into knots, because it's really assuming that, a blind or visually impaired parent or a disabled parent is going to be less than capable. And that's simply not substantiated in research and in actual experience.
You were talking about this study you did with Through the Looking Glass. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about Through the Looking Glass and how this study worked and what the results were, briefly?
Sure. Through the Looking Glass is an organization in Berkeley that serves families with disabilities, children with disabilities, and it's a nonprofit organization. They do, home-based kinds of visits for certain populations, certain clients, and then now they have a larger space. So they actually have a model Head Start program to include children with disabilities within their Head Start program. So their emphasis has been on working with families with disabilities. This particular project that I was mentioning had to do with surveying parents and their teens. So it was a combination of doing surveys, written surveys, focus groups, and the results pretty much indicated that we need to consider multiple factors, not just a parent's disability, in terms of, quality of parenting, the need for assistance. Not all parents need assistance, but if they do, it's very, very important to keep in mind that an informed professional with appropriate resource recommendations is going to go a long way to enhancing the parenting experience and having a parent feel truly supported in their role as a parent. And also the results highlighted actual benefits that, some of these children, young people mentioned that they're very independent around handling transportation. They're very comfortable because their parents have had to learn, public transportation systems really well. So they know it really well. So there's certain benefits that were highlighted and, to the point that families with, non-disabled members can really learn a great deal.
I want to ask you about the last question real quickly here that was found on the Imperfect Parent website. That question is, how can a blind person take care of a tiny baby?
Tiny babies are not as fragile as we think they are. I mean, I remember having a newborn and going through that experience, and but blind parents can care for a tiny baby if they feel that they could use some assistance. Having a connection with another blind or visually impaired parent through National Federation of the Blind or American Council of the Blind, those are the primary consumer organizations. They have lots of ways to connect with other blind and visually impaired individuals, including parents. It really does help to have the support of doctors, other professionals. It often is the case that a service provider, like a healthcare provider, their initial reaction, like a pediatrician's initial reaction to a parent, a disabled parent or a blind or visually impaired parent, goes a long way to developing confidence, instilling a sense of, I think it's the confidence. It does, and the positive attitude and the feeling that, we can learn, we can do the parenting in the way that that suits our needs as well as the child's needs.
So how can our listeners overcome those misconceptions of parenting as blind and visually impaired parents? And, what further advice would you provide them if they want to be the best parent they can be?
There's a lot of, just to remember that there's a lot of family and parental attributes that influence the developmental outcomes in children. And having, really important to have faith and confidence in yourself, in your ability to parent. If you are the type of person who benefits from having a lot of advanced time, advanced preparation to get organized, then go for it. Do it. And get some, insight from people who are already doing it. All parents benefit from connection with other people. We really, parenting is not an isolated activity. It can be a very social, meaningful activity, and learning too. Learning is a social activity. We can learn in isolation, but why? It's not, especially now, with internet access and organizations like American Council of the Blind, National Federation of the Blind, Lighthouse, Through the Looking Glass. There are lots of places. Perkins School for the Blind has a website that I recently looked at to find toys and reading material about characters who are blind or visually impaired for a parent who contacted me when I first started working here. There's lots of information out there, but to really, allow yourself the experience. True, all parents want to get their ducks in order. You want to be prepared as much as you can. You want to be secure financially, as much as you can. You want to have a support system for yourself and your child as you go along. And these things happen oftentimes very naturally, and go for it.
So tell me briefly about some of the resources that blind parents can use to be more effective parents, and even some of the psychological services they can use, like the Lighthouses or maybe your private practice, for instance, that if they're really having problems.
Yeah, I think really tapping into and giving me a call if you'd like to have just some time to talk and consult with me. I mean, some of the listeners, I'm assuming, are far away from San Francisco, but that does not mean that you can't call here and arrange a consultation with me or have a chance to talk to people that are here at Lighthouse. I know there are organizations in different places, but Through the Looking Glass is a wonderful organization.
And how might they contact you and Through the Looking Glass?
I can be contacted at the Lighthouse through our general number, or I have a specific phone number and email, which I can provide if you'd like.
Sure.
That my direct number is, I'm just looking, it's 415-694-7307, and my email is C, as in Connie, Jung, J-U-N-G, at lighthouse-sf.org.
Okay.
That's one way to get a hold of me. And Through the Looking Glass, they have a toll-free number. It's 800-848-1112. That's their general toll-free number.
Dr. Connie Jung, the information that you provided on today's show may just inspire some of our blind and visually impaired listeners to become parents, and the information may enhance the lives for those who are already parents. You are also an inspiration to our listeners seeking a career in the field of psychology. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Please note, folks, that you may also visit Through the Looking Glass at its website, www.lookingglass.org. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
You're listening to American Council for the Blind Radio.
By the blind, for the world.